This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
To the fan hotline of Cleveland.com. You know him, you love him. Lance Reisland joining us now. Coach, welcome back to the show.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Happy game week.
Hey, Coach. First off, happy game week. But if you send Nick and I any more text messages based off of preseason games and the Bengals...
Absolutely.
We're going to have to reevaluate our friendship.
I disagree.
Way too many preseason and what happened in the Bengals preseason.
I like the details, Coach.
Why do you think the preseason mattered so much for the Bengals this year?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because I think the Bengals have gotten off to such slow starts. When you watch them, what they're doing offensively, in the past, they've kind of been very vanilla, especially when those first groups are in. But if you watch that first quarter of all three games, not the third game, especially those first two games, they were trying to get in rhythm. They had five out in their pass set. They did a lot of stuff that they're going to try to do against Cleveland. But that's why I thought watching those three games and the notes were important. So attention to detail, I think it's for the Browns, this is a game I think they can win, and I think they got to treat it like that. So I think the attention to detail is important.
So let me ask you, are you expecting a win on Sunday?
I am expecting a win. It's a game of matchups, and there's some matchups in this game that are – if the Browns can win on first down and do a couple things, there's a couple matchups that are incredibly in the Browns' favor that they can take advantage of if they can win on first down.
What are those matchups?
Well, if you think about, so if they win on first, if they can win on first down and get defensively first, we'll start. If they can win on first down, now Burrow is in second and 10. Their offensive line, so you got those. You got Mims and Brown. They're both 6'7", 6'8". They don't bend very well, and that's what the Browns' defensive ends do very well. They're actually in a guard competition for their right guard right now with Patrick, Rivers, and Risner. And they brought Risner in, who I thought he was okay, but they don't even know who's starting at the right guard. And then they got a rookie at the left guard. Now, Karras is a good center, but if you can win, they have pass, and Taylor likes to get five out. That's why they've always had such success against the Bengals, because he doesn't help on Miles very much. So if they can win on first down, now same thing on the defense side of the ball. They can't stop the run. They brought in Slayton, who I thought was a good pickup, but they can't stop the run. If you get to second five, now you can take some play-action shots. You can get a couple Chiefs scores. I just think, once again, going back to what we talked about 2 weeks ago, if you can win on first down, you can create matchups that they can really struggle with. Defensively, they're not very good. And if you can control the ball and keep it out of Burrow's hands, you got a chance to win this game. And you got a chance to, I don't want to say win it dominantly because Burrow's going to be so tough, but if you can control that clock, you got a chance to win this game I would say.
Coach, when it comes to Joe Flacco, we know that after last year, turnovers are bad. Don't do turnovers. Joe tends to do the turnovers. So, what I guess is the push and pull of a wide zone run scheme, running the ball a lot with authority and making enough plays with Joe without then, you know, maybe throwing the ball 41 times a game.
Well, yeah, I think if you can keep it in that 25 to 35 range and 4 to 7 of those are shot plays where you're not really reading a bunch of stuff, you're just trying to set it up with the run. I think what he can do, first of all, I think he's going to not turn the ball over so much because I think when he got in here, he was excited. They were much better offensively. I think he understands this year for them to be successful, they have to play close to the best. They have to be boring on offense. Now, you got to let them cook a little bit. You got to let them eat a little bit. But however, I think that comes with play action. I think that comes with I saw that a little bit when during the preseason, after a big pass, they go back to the run. So I think they got to shorten the clock. They got to do things well. And I think he understands that a little bit more being a part of this whole offseason and now being the starting quarterback, that if they're going to win, turning the ball over for most teams is going to cost you a win. But for the Browns, it's especially because if you make the other team go 89 yards against this defense, that's hard to do. Hard to consistently do. So I think he protects it better just because he's been here and he understands that for them to win games, which I think they can, he's got to protect the football.
Coach, you were a quarterback. How do you spice it up for a quarterback that is not inherently boring, but you said you need to play boring offense?
Well, I think, you know, obviously it's plays there when you get it. So if you're only throwing the ball 30 times, you're taking some shots, right? You're taking some shots downfield. It comes down to the run game. Can you get the run game? The only thing that quarterbacks care about at that level is winning. And Flacco's been around so long, he's got all kinds of numbers. He's not going to mind getting them into the right run play. He's not going to mind killing a play and going the opposite way because it sets up the run better. And then he won't mind if they're in 12 personnel. Now, they're facing Al Golden, right? So Al Golden's a guy who likes to play close to the best. And what I mean by that, he's a situational guy. So when the Browns come out in two tight ends, he's going to come out with three linebackers. That kind of plays into the what Stefanski and Flacco like to do, because there's a lot of times they go up the line of scrimmage and they're going to run based on what they see defensively. So if he throws the ball a bunch of times, it's because they're crowding the line of scrimmage, which is also means there's a numbers game, right? There's less people covering. So I think for Joe Flacco, it's all about winning football games. And if that means getting you into the right run game, that sometimes is just, you know, just as rewarding for a quarterback because you're moving the team, which is kind of the ultimate goal in winning. It doesn't matter if you throw for 2 yards or 300. Winning is all that matters.
Lance Reisland on the Fan Hotline here with Nick and Jonathan. So, Coach, obviously very excited. We got week one coming up here in Cleveland. But you're a part of the tailgate show with JP. I want to know, how are you going to keep this energy, this infectious personality up through 18 weeks if the Browns end up being a 5 or 6 win team?
Yeah, I want to know too, Coach.
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. Football is football to me, and I love it. So each week is a different week, and you know, there's always something to play for, right? If you're playing, so if they're not winning, you're a pro, right? You got to go out, and people are earning spots, and it kind of goes back to, everybody thinks I'm crazy because I like watching the second half of preseason games. Why? Because those guys are fighting their tails off, and for me, football is just like life, right? You got to fight, and you got to not listen to the outside noise, and my energy, you know, it'll never change because, you know, when you get into game week and you get in breaking down film, it kind of speaks to your culture, right? And if you know, it's not what you say, it's what you repeatedly do, and that energy has to stay the same because you're one play away from kind of getting through the barrier, right? You're one play away from getting over the hump, and that's kind of what you got to look at. And if it's going into next year, if it's going into whatever, that's what you got to do. You have to stay the course, and you know, can't talk about culture. You got to go do it, and I think that's what excites you. You know, I've had bad seasons as a coach, as well, and you know, you have to have that energy. If you don't, no one else will. And that's kind of how, you know, my dad and I have always looked at it. Is it doesn't matter what your record is. It's next up. It's next day of practice. It's the next rep. That's what kind of makes you a winner down the road, whatever it may be.
Let me ask you a quarterback question that relates a little bit to the preseason. And so obviously we saw Shador. He had some of the same issues he had at Colorado where he turned his back, and you know, it's not great, obviously. But you said you watched every Bengals preseason game, and I believe it based off the notes. There was a play in there where Joe Burrow did the same exact thing that Shador is accused of, and Joe Burrow's obviously played in a Super Bowl. He is accomplished just about as much as you can in the NFL while not winning a Super Bowl and not winning a league MVP. He's very, very accomplished, though. But he had a very similar play, and I bring Joe into the mix because I also want to bring Caleb Williams in the mix. I listened into some of my buddies in Chicago, and they kept talking about how Caleb is guilty of the same things that Shador has been accused of, that Joe Burrow has been accused of. It's turning the back away from the play. How does that happen as a veteran quarterback, or how does that happen even as a young quarterback? And is it more common than maybe just what the casual fan thinks it is?
Well, you know, turning your back, what those guys try to do, they're always trying to extend those plays. So when you the only difference between Joe Burrow is he's not necessarily a runner. Like Caleb Williams and Shador, part of their success has been extending plays and improvising when the structure goes away, right? So you have to do that sometimes. The problem is in the NFL, everybody's trying to strip the ball. For me, it's all about if you lose sight of your defenders, so no matter who does it, they're all wrong doing it, right? Because you just turn your back to the defenders and you're asking for turnovers, right? Not only can they strip you, but now you lose coverage, you lose where your guys are at, scramble drill kind of gets messed up. But once again, for a guy like Caleb Williams and Shador, Shador's habits come from, you know, that backpedaling that he does, you see, that's trying to buy time, because at Colorado he had to buy time, right? He had to get it past 2.8 because he had such pressure. Well, now he doesn't have to do that. So those are things he's going to learn and he's going to get much better at. Now, turning your back is one of those things, right? It's a no, yes, right kind of thing. But for the most part, you're trying to do as a coordinator, as a quarterback coach, you're trying to limit mistakes, right? You're trying to limit the tornado of mistakes, right? And that kind of compounds it when you turn your back, because you're losing track of everybody, right? And when you lose track of everybody, that's when turnovers happen.
So I guess this is the excitement season. What are you most excited about heading into the season, or which players are you most excited about?
Well, I'm excited to see them get back to the Stefanski run game, right? And to try to create that attitude. I think that's important. I'm excited, you know, I've always, you know, those years you go in when no one thinks you're going to be good, you have two choices. You prove everybody right or you prove everybody wrong. And as long as everybody in that locker room thinks they can win, and that's the most important thing. So I'm interested, what I really want to see more than players is just kind of that mentality, not talking it or celebrating, just what is their energy level like when they get out on the field? Do they believe they can win? Do they believe that in the system they got? They got two really good coordinators. They got high-level people, especially on defense. You know, they should be believing that they can win, and they can win, you know, every week. And I know people are like, that's crazy. But maybe on the outside, but on the inside, they should believe they can win every game, and the best players should be out there. All the development stuff, all that stuff is, you know, I don't want to say out the window, but for Stefanski, it's right now, I got to win games, and I'm going to do whatever I can to win games. And I'm just interested. I want to see their energy level. I want to see them ready to play on Sunday afternoon.
All right, away from the Browns, I got to ask you, did you think people overreacted to Arch Manning and just really what was not a very good start?
You know, I do. Here's the thing. I do think they overreacted. Now, if you watch his fundamentals, I'm actually doing a little bit of that now, too. His fundamentals were way off, right? And mm-hmm. He was throwing off his back foot. And fundamentally, he's a really sound fundamental quarterback, transferring his weight and all the other stuff I talk about. He just lost his rhythm. Now, what they did was they gave him multiple fronts. And it was, you know, paralysis from analysis, right? He was trying to figure out the coverage, and Patricia was doing a great job of disguising it and coming late with blitzes and showing seven and bringing five, showing five and bringing seven. He just did such a great job for his first start. But once again, it kind of goes back to Shador's first start, right? It's whether it's good or bad, there's going to be a learning curve, right? So you've never started. Now you're going against Ohio State defense that's really, really good, and a coordinator who understands how to take the first read away. And for a quarterback, a young quarterback, that was always kind of the goal if we faced a young quarterback, a sophomore in high school, right? Take away the first read, because if you take away the first read, now he's got to think and get to the second one, which can cause fundamental issues, which can cause interceptions, all that kind of stuff. So Patricia did a great job of taking that first read away and making it very difficult. Now he's got to come back. Now he's got to prove everybody right or wrong again, right? He didn't play very well. He didn't throw it very well. Fundamentally, he was bad, and he looked bad. So he's got to figure it out and go back to work.
Hey, Coach, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. Excited to have you on board all football season long, not just here, but on the tailgate show as well. Great stuff, buddy.
I appreciate you guys having me. We'll talk soon.
Lance Reisland there every Tuesday, 6 p.m. here on 92.3 The Fan. Of course, we'll be reacting to games starting next Tuesday. Great stuff with him. We'll react to what he had to say. And there's winning on the field, there's winning the press conference, and there's winning both. This happened. This actually happened. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Under Brian Kelly, you've got Jaden Daniels. Now it looks like Garrett Nussmeier is going to be the next guy up.
Oh, you see, I always transition just in general. You think of them with all these different quarterbacks. And for a while, I remember it was wide receiver you back when it was like Jarvis and Odell, and they were ushering all those guys in. Like LSU has been, I mean, they've been at the forefront for, it's been years now.
So LSU gets the 17-10 win on the road. It should be noted, on the road in Death Valley. And Dabo Swinney, Clemson head coach, put it this way.
That is a physical group. It's a very smart quarterback, and that is a back. They're going to be a problem. and they got some explosive dudes, and we it was a hell of a game. It was a hell of a game down the last play, right out of the gate. It's like getting the final exam day one of class. They made a 65, we made a 58. Neither one of us were great.
That's just so Dabo.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong.
Well, except the point where he said neither one of us was that great.
I mean, LSU wasn't that great either.
They won.
Scored 17 points. It's not like they.
It's a battle. It was 9 versus 4. The idea that was going to be a dominating one sided game was silly in the first place.
I mean, neither one of them did really much. Now Clemson. Clemson was just miserable on third downs. Clemson it lost the time of possession by a million. Clemson ran, I think it was like 33 total rushing yards in the game. Mm-hmm. They were just over like a yard point two per carry. Like there was a lot Clemson didn't do right, but it's not like LSU came in there and was just awesome.
Well, Brian Kelly did get wind of these Dabo Swinney comments, and there's winning the game, which he did. Mm-hmm. He's winning the press conference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Which I think he does here, but I think that proves he was able to do both.
We dominated him in the second half, so he's either a really good grader, you know, giving himself a 58, or he's a really hard grader on us, or he didn't see the second half, which that might be the case. He might not have wanted to see the second half.
Oh, come
on.
That
was so good.
You scored 14 points in the second half. You didn't dominate him in the second half. That was insane by Brian Kelly.
I think the insane thing was...
That was Dabo mean. Yeah, Dabo was mean about it.
No, he wasn't mean. He was wrong.
He was mean about it.
One team played very poorly. The other played well enough to win.
One team played very poorly. The other team played average, which is higher than like a 64 on his curve, probably. It's probably like a
65, but still.
It's probably like a 75 or so. It's probably somewhere in that range.
Like a high C plus.
Yeah, like this is not a great LSU game. Now, I like Clemson's defense a lot. Uh-huh. I think they got a lot of NFL players. I think I told you earlier, Ohio State will finish top three in total defense this year. I think Clemson's going to be somewhere in the top three as well. I just think they have a really good defense. So, like, to even score 17 on them, maybe that's the accomplishment. But, you got to score more than 14 to talk about dominating. Dominating last night is what happened against Bill Belichick last night and our Hoover Dam.
I mean,
our furry Hoover.
That sounded like Larry Hoover, and I just started thinking of old rap songs. This is not great.
That's dominating.
If you're Brian
that's
Kelly,
dog walking.
If you're okay, but that was never going to be this
you
game.
You scored a touchdown in each quarter. That's not dominating.
I think you're putting it on the scoreboard.
How I should put it.
I think LSU was the significantly better team in the second half.
I think
Brian Kelly saying they weren't.
Brian Kelly, no. He graded it out as if LSU was better. But Brian Kelly said dominating.
I believe he said neither team was great in the second half.
No, but he still said they were better.
Neither team was great.
As evidenced by the 65 to 58 or whatever his curve was. But like Brian Kelly acted as if that was like that was the greatest game of football ever played in the second half by his team.
I think Brian Kelly gets to take the victory lap here, and he gets to say anything he wants because Dabo did what Dabo always does, which is open his big mouth too much.
You eked out a win. Congratulations.
That's not eke out. You don't eke out a win against a number 4 team of the country.
It was tied going into the fourth quarter, and then they won by a touchdown. They eked out a win.
No, that's when you get like a weird fluky play and then a weird 25-yard chip shot field goal.
Brian Kelly acted as if this was like a 45-7 game.
That's not. No, he said it's a great win. It is a great win by
LSU.
He
said dominating.
He believes they dominated.
They won by a score, a single score.
Who wants to be daddy?
You can dominate, but do you think Ohio State dominated?
I think Dabo was closer than Brian Kelly was in the post-game comparisons of the two games.
No, I can't let Dabo... You keep saying Dabo. I can't let Dabo off the last thing of neither were great. You weren't great. The other team did pretty okay.
Pretty okay is not nearly the press conference that Brian Kelly described.
I mean, but when you win that game on the road, you get to say
you
dominate.
It's a good win. I mean, there's a reason why LSU is, this put them up in the AP top 25 in a certain spot. I think they moved up all the way from 9th to 8th, I think. So the voters are responding accordingly.
Wait, they moved one spot for beating the 4 seed?
I think they moved up one spot.
This is why nobody cares about the AP top 25 anymore.
Well, let me double check though. I might be wrong. I might just be wrong.
They should be the second or third best team in the country with this.
TikTok.
Maybe they are.
Dabo's the dree up.
Oh no, they moved up to third. Okay, good.
Okay, all right.
Sorry, Clemson's eighth. That's where my confusion came in.
And by the way, Penn State should not be above LSU when you get this kind of win. And honestly, I
agree with you. Winning, and again, beating as good of a team as Clemson is, winning was the goal. Doesn't matter by how many or how few or whether it was graded on a curve or anything else in between. Winning was the main objective. They got the win. They need to get boosted up for it. But Brian Kelly acting as if basically Clemson wasn't even on the same field as them is crazy to me.
I am about to make this might be a bridge too far for some people. I think LSU should be ranked ahead of Ohio State. Ohio State did beat the 1 seed, but they beat them at home. LSU went on the road, beat a team that was 5 spots ahead of them, the 4 seed, on the road. I think that's a much more impressive win.
Do you think LSU is a better team than Ohio State? Because I don't.
I don't know. I think that's... Okay, are we basing it off of on paper? Are we basing them off of like who I think they're going to be?
Whichever you prefer, dealer's
choice. I think LSU will be one of the final four teams standing in college this year.
And you think that about Ohio State too, though?
Yes. So they're very comparable teams.
I get what you're saying. You want to give the road team the extra bump for beating them on the road. I get it. I can't argue with that necessarily. I think Ohio State's a better team. I think that's why they got as many first place votes as they did. I think
they got as many first place. They were the national champion last year, and they're Ohio State.
Well, that's how we initially got the rankings to begin with.
Well, no, but I think your point was like, well, this is why they got so many first place votes. I think it helps when you're Ohio State. And then the funny thing is LSU is amongst the blue blood crowd. I think if we talk about who gets more of a favorable look from writers or whatever,
they've earned it.
I think Ohio State gets more of a favorable look than LSU does traditionally.
Right, and they've earned it.
But they have the less impressive win this year because now we actually have games to go off of, not just phony preseason rankings.
No, I still look at the Texas win as more impressive to me, even if it was at home. I think Texas is a better football team than what Clemson is, even though I told you I really do like Clemson.
I think all four teams are going to be playoff teams,
of course. But like they do have to see these at some point. Like at some point, you do have to say which team is your number one team. At some point, you do have to lock in those votes. For the voters, 55 out of 66 first place votes went to Ohio State.
And I think they were wrong.
Yeah. So you have Ohio State number two.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a slight to either team. They're both good teams.
I think it's a slight to LSU. I think it's really, really hard to go on the road. And this is actually the benefit if I'm a Longhorn fan today that I would give myself. It's really hard to go on the road to a – and listen, it was a great environment for Ohio State at noon kickoff. That has been touch and go. It is never not – a great environment for Clemson when it's at home, whether it's a noon kickoff or whether it's a night kickoff like they had. I know LSU's in the SEC and they pride themselves on playing in these kind of games 4 or 5 times a year. You can make a case that this is going to be the toughest team or close to it that Clemson faces all year, and they went on the road. You can do the same thing for Ohio State, Texas,
right?
But that carries a little bit more weight for Texas than it does Ohio State. Because you were eating home cooking if you're the Buckeyes.
Well, Ohio State, too. They still they take on Penn State later on in the year. They have some other games. I mean, LSU takes on Florida in a couple weeks. That's going to be a big-time game. They'll take on Ole Miss a few weeks after that. They got games that they got to play, too.
But I continue to go with, I think my real beef is the Penn State thing. I know that they were number two previously. Love and respect to Penn State. You beat the holy crap out of Nevada. That's going to be a... That's a group of, isn't it a group of six now? Group of 16. Everybody else played big boys.
Yeah, I think we should reward the people that take on the week one tough opponent. I think that should be something that we weigh heavily in this discussion. And so for that, I mean, of course, I'd put up LSU above Penn State.
Also, can we just say one thing?
I like that they played a tough team.
So we didn't get to this. I know you touched on something because I saw the rundown from Friday.
Yeah.
All.
I might not have touched on it. There's things we didn't get to.
All. Saturday long on game day and big noon kickoff, all anyone would talk about is how coaches are afraid of these early season matchups because how much one loss can matter in the playoff era. But they were talking about it like it's a new thing, which coaches have been using the excuse of, I don't want to get jobbed in the playoff or the national title hunt by losing a game because that'll take me out of the power position for it. This has been happening since before the BCS.
Right, but how I had it was whether or not it's punitive and whether or not it's going to be a punitive for losing a week one matchup, and the results are in. It's not at all.
Depending
how you do it, right? Like Alabama, for instance, vomiting all over their shoes, that's going to be pretty punitive to them because they showed themselves that they're just not a real team at this point. Like what makes Clemson and what makes with some of these other teams, and then Notre Dame, for instance, is another one of these that you have these losses. Texas falls in this group as well. They had these losses, but they were right there with the other team. They were competitive with the other team, and they didn't just look awful.
I think it was more that especially College Game Day crew, they were talking about it like this is a problem currently ongoing with the current College Football Selection Committee. And my rebuttal would be, you have less to fear about losing a big game now because look how many 2-3 lost teams have gotten in as you've expanded the playoffs. So you're talking about this as if it's a new issue. It's been for as long as I can remember. And the more teams you let in, the less fear there is going to be to Ohio State and Texas scheduling this game because it's just not going to be as punitive.
Right, and I think that's the bonus. Now, myself, what I was worried about is, was I going to look at that and say, well, why am I even watching week one? Why am I paying attention if there is? Because one beautiful thing about college football in the past was how punitive it was if you had a loss and how it did just shake everything up. And as evidence, it doesn't really make a difference. Now, fortunately for myself, I had a lot of fun this weekend. It didn't really matter.
This is why, by the way, as crazy as it sounds, I don't think we should wait till halfway through the season to get college football rankings. I think we should get them right off the rip. I think the idea that week one, after a great week one, we're relying on the AP top 25, none of those voters, which, by the way, are going to be voting for, like, you know, the actual meaningful college football playoffs thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you got to start that from week one. Because I think the whole point of...
The committee puts themselves in a bind then that way. And I know I'm defending and sticking up for the committee here, but the problem with doing it week one is that it makes it harder for them to be... have some continuity within what they believe and what they think. Now, you would argue, and I think I'd argue in return, well, what they think and believe should stay consistent all throughout the entire year anyway, but we would just call out their hypocrisies at a higher rate.
I think it would be must-watch TV. If in the same way it is when, was it 6 weeks from now, we get the first rankings, as much as that is true, that is always, every single week is must-watch. I think why not? Because what has happened with a selection show every week is, college football slowly but surely has stopped being as regional. Like the playoffs being a part of the conversation from jump has allowed you to trim some of that regional nature of college football, and some of the NIL changes have done this as well. So I think if you started I think you would notice it would be a hell of a lot less regional if you just started the playoff. If tonight there was a big reveal of here's our first top 10. I think top 10. It can start out as top 10, then you branch out to top 25 4 weeks from now or something like that.
Listen, I wouldn't hate it. I always like more rankings. I like more things to argue about, and I like it being a concrete ranking like that. But I do wonder if it would just be hard because then, for instance, in the situation we talked about, you valued LSU's win on the road more because you value more with road wins, at least in this early stage. We'll see how you feel about that in week 7 or week 8 when you still have to decide what actually tilts it in one favor or another. Maybe it still is road wins, but for the committee, that's hard to maintain over a whole season.
Who was more right in the smack-off, Dabo Swinney or Brian Kelly, in case you missed it, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.